Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you've spoken to us, and we do pray that you would speak to us now. You would show us wonderful things in your word, and we pray that as you are there, you're ever present, ever ready to hear our prayer. Shape us that we're more ready to reach out, to call out to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you want to get to know someone, if you want to sort of, if there's a relationship, you want to have a good relationship, one of the best things you can do is to look at the kind of relationship that you desire, find someone who embodies that relationship, and ask them how they got there. You can look at the couple that's been married for 70 years and ask them what's gone into that relationship. What's it taken day by day, year by year? What's that shared history, that shared experience that's created that relationship? You can ask the grown sort of adult and their grown child, what's gone into this lively friendship that you have? What have you shared? What have you been through? Earlier this week, I went to an ambulance station in a country town where three ambos had worked together for over 30 years. They could work together pretty seamlessly, pretty naturally, yet this came out of much shared experience, even some shared loss. If you want a good relationship, one of the best things you can do is look for that kind of relationship and ask what got you there. And it's similar with prayer. It's a common Christian experience to look around and to see other people who seem to have a deep relationship with God, who seem to walk daily with Jesus. I think many of us, we long for that. I wish I could pray like that person, to walk with, to trust Jesus at all times like that person does. It's a common Christian experience to want that. But it's not just a common experience, it's something that we're called to do. So we heard in the scripture reading, we're called to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present our requests to God. 1 Thessalonians, it's put even more starkly, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Many of us long for, we're called to have a life of continual, of unceasing prayer. I think we often see it when we look at people, but how do we get there? Well, today I don't bring great experience. I don't think I'm that pin-up person who you want to be like in prayer. I'm trying to grow, like many of us are. Yet today we can come to God's Word, and in God's Word, especially the Psalms, we see a lively relationship with God. We see and hear that the prayers of people who do live lives of unceasing prayer. I think we get a few hints of what builds that kind of life. We'll see that unceasing prayer flows from our unceasing need, from our relationship with God, from disciplined prayer, and from the God of relationship. Firstly, unceasing prayer flows from our unceasing need. We'll be led to pray continually when we realize that we are continually needy and dependent on our ever-present God. Psalm 42 and 43 that Corinne read for us. We hear that the pressures were constant. People were saying, where is your God? People were taunting the psalmist. How often were they doing that? We're told it was all day long. The pressures from outside were constant all day. Where is your God? And that constant pressure, it leads to a constant turmoil in the psalmist. Says, my tears have been my food day and night. These constant pressures create constant turmoil. Tears have been my food day and night. When the psalmist says that, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. This is a continual thirst, that feeling of drinking yet not being satisfied. There are continual pressures. It's creating a continual and ever-present thirst and need and turmoil of soul. Yet this unceasing need leads the psalmist and should lead us to our ever-present God. Because he is there. While our tears may be our food day and night, we're told in verse 8 of Psalm 42 that by day the Lord directs his love and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. When we realize the pressures from outside and from within, they're ever present. They're continual. We go to the God who is there by day and at night. The God who can provide, the God who we know. We go to this God when we are needy. And often if you do talk to those prayer warriors, those people you look to in prayer and ask them what's created that kind of trust, that kind of relationship with God, sometimes the answer's a little uncomfortable. It's not usually the easy times. Often people will tell you it was the hard times. It was the times when they couldn't rely or lean on anything else that they were led to rely on God. And we realize our continual need, well, we're led to trust in our ever-present God. But our unceasing prayer, it also flows from our relationship with God. We pray because our God has established a relationship with us and speaks by his word. Psalm 42 and 43 are again striking in how much God is present. In 16 verses, the word God is used 21 times. This is a psalmist who knows God. But it's not just God. Did you notice the Psalms were read out? How many times it was my Saviour, my God, the God of my salvation. This psalmist, and we, if we trust in Jesus, we have a relationship with God. We have shared history in that he died for us. We have a God who's died for us. We have a God who has saved us. And we have a God who, I know you've heard already in this series, who is speaking to us by his word, who has initiated this relationship. A few years ago, I was convicted that I was sort of taking my relationship with my dad for granted. It had become very functional. And growing up as a teenager, I'd called my dad when I needed money. And as a uni student, I called dad when I needed to borrow the car. I got married and again would sometimes call dad when I needed money, and I had kids and I called dad now when I needed babysitting. So it was a growing relationship, but still just calling when I needed stuff. I was convinced, and dad loved me, and dad would usually say yes to all these things. He loved to provide for me. Yet I was convinced I wanted actually more of a relationship with dad. And so I started calling him just because. And it confused dad at first, so I'd call and say, how are you going? What are you doing today? And it's like, oh, you mean tonight? Am I free? It's like, no, just what are you doing today? And I'd invite him to a coffee. And I'd say, oh, he must be asking for something really big if he's inviting me to coffee. But it was just relationship. Because when you have a relationship, a father who does love to provide and will provide your needs, who does love to give what you ask for, it's such a gift to know you have a relationship. And this life of unceasing prayer, will come from realizing that, well, we don't go to God just when we need something, but we have a God who has provided for us. Even when we don't feel like we need something, we're still very needy. We should thank him that he has provided. We have a relationship with God. And so we live out that obedience by day coming to him. Thirdly, a life of unceasing prayer, it comes from disciplined prayer. Actually, prayer becomes a habit of the heart through discipline. I think we want the kind of ever-growing, organic relationship with God. We want to walk with Him day by day to instinctively not rely on ourselves or what we can do, but to cry out to our Father. We want this organic relationship with God. And sometimes it's played off against structure. People say, oh, well, you could have a daily quiet time, or you could just pray and spend every moment with God throughout the day. But these two things aren't at odds. The best thing we can do to grow in our organic, growing relationship with God is to put some structure in place. You want the vines that are just going to go all over the place to get some structure? You put a trellis in place. And the trellis by itself might be a little bit sort of artificial. Yet in time, you put that structure in and the vine, it grows and takes its shape from the discipline. So this passage, we saw kind of some hints of discipline. Throughout the psalm, there seem to be set times when the psalmists pray. Even though they have this organic relationship with God, they're coming to Him day and night. We're told in Psalm 3 verse 5, I lie down and sleep, I wake again because the Lord sustains me. Feels like this is a prayer for day and night. Psalm 4 seems to be an evening prayer where it says, tremble and do not sin when you're on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. In Psalm 4 verse 8, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 5 verse 3, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Seems that these psalmists, they kind of had particular things they would pray for in the morning and evening. There was structure out of which a life of unceasing prayer grew. We'd know the story of Daniel. Daniel, who was told that the king gave an order, you're not allowed to pray to any god but to me. And we're told in Daniel chapter 6 that when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, that no one could pray to anyone but the king, Daniel went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he'd done before. And then these men went and as a group, and they found Daniel praying and asking God for help. How did Daniel develop the spiritual muscle where he could sort of face down the lion's den, where he was trusting God in the worst times? Well, it seems he had a pattern of prayer. As we seek that we would have an unceasing life of prayer with God, it's right that we find times, create structure with the daily quiet time or the day and the evening. People have done it in different ways. Prayer also grows from the discipline of set prayers. So sometimes, even in this passage, there seem to be particular prayers that the psalmist repeats. They were pouring out their soul naturally to God, yet there was shape to it, wasn't there? In Psalm 42 and 43, they were pouring out their soul, yet there was a sentence they repeated three times. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. Sometimes having particular prayers, maybe prayers that you've written out, knowing the way that you particularly struggle, the things you're particularly tempted by, you could write out a prayer that you do pray each day. That gives shape and structure, that you would pray for this every day, that tunes your heart so that throughout the day you'd continue coming to God for these needs. We see the discipline of set prayers. There's also the discipline of prayer with others. And sometimes prayer with others can be spoken of like it's a weakness. People say, oh, I didn't really pray today. All I did was go to church and go to youth group and go to Bible study. And I know you can do those things kind of without praying. You can do those things prayerlessly. But actually, God structured the Christian life so that we have one another. He structured the Christian life so that we can go to others when we're struggling to pray. And as they pray, we can say amen, even if we can't bring ourselves to cry out. We're upheld by our brothers and sisters in prayer. When we join with brothers and sisters in prayer, we're taught how to pray as well. We're stretched beyond even our experience. To pray happy prayers when we might be feeling sad, and to pray sad prayers when we haven't experienced that kind of turmoil. A life of constant prayer. Well, it comes from disciplined prayer. But finally, in the end, a life of constant prayer, of unceasing prayer, it doesn't come ultimately for anything we can do. It doesn't come from any structure we can put in place. Although there's lots of great advice out there for your brothers and sisters as you ask them in books, patterns through which you can pray at different points, different prayers throughout the day. The life of unceasing prayer in the end doesn't come from our structure, but it comes from the God of relationship. Because when we come, when we pray in Jesus' name, when we pray as Christians, we're entering into, we're sharing in the prayer life of another. Galatians 4 tells us of Jesus, the perfect Son. It says, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Jesus is the one we look to who had that perfect relationship with God. He always obeyed his Father. He always loved his Father and brought his needs to his Father. Yet Jesus isn't just an example. He is our Savior. We're told that when we trust in Jesus, that by the Spirit, we approach God as sons in the Son, whether men or women. We come because we come through the perfect Son, and our prayers are heard as the prayers of the perfect Son are heard. We don't just look to that amazing relationship. Actually, we step into it. We're stepping into a shared history. We're stepping into a relationship forged through a life of obedience and through his precious death on the cross. As someone sent out by our sending organization, I feel like I'm stepping into this goodwill that I don't deserve. I come from my church where people know me and love me, and of course they're going to be excited and sort of get on board. I find it so encouraging coming to churches where we don't know many people. But I meet people who've been faithfully praying through the prayer diary for decades. I meet people who are excited about what God is doing in the world. And because of that, I step into all this goodwill that I haven't deserved, into this relationship, and I feel loved and supported. Well, in prayer, we come to the God of relationship. We step into a relationship, a shared history that we don't deserve. Because we come to our Father, in the Son. The Son who could go to his Father at Lazarus' graveside and say, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. The Son who came to his Father in the garden saying, not my will, but yours. As we pray, as you pray today, God hears our prayer as willingly, as expectantly. He hears the cries of his perfect Son because we pray to and through the God of relationship. Let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us not just examples, not just good advice on how to pray, but you give us good news. You draw us into a relationship, to participate in a relationship that we don't experience, that we haven't experienced, that we don't deserve. Help us to come to you with all our needs, all our thanks. Help us to see our great and constant need. But help us to come to you in full confidence and love because of the relationship we have with you through your precious Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.